I was thinking of a verse this morning in John, familiar verse, John 14, verse 6. I think you all know the verse I'm talking about. When Jesus was talking to Thomas, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." So we have to ask ourselves, what does that mean? That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. I mean, it seems pretty clear that if we want to see the Father, that's our destiny, eternal life, and our inheritance. You know, if I ask everyone here, who wants to be saved, to go to heaven, to spend eternity with Jesus, I think we'd all, I want to go to heaven. Well, that's what Jesus was saying. If you read the context, he's saying, I'm going to a place, I prepared a place for you. He said, and you know the way. And they said, we do? We don't know the way. How do we get there? Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going in verse 5. We don't even know the way. And he said, oh, you know the way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If you come through me, you can be saved. And he said, Philip, if you had known me, you would know the Father. And from now on, you have known him and seen him. He said, we haven't seen the Father. How am I supposed to figure out how to get to the Father? I've never seen him. And Jesus said, no. Look, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father, because I am the Bible says that Jesus is the exact representation of who the Father is. That means that when Jesus lived on this earth, he was the perfect example of how the Father, how he would act, what he would do, the way he demonstrated his kindness and love and grace, but also his hatred for sin, his anger against those who were hypocrites, his uncompromising stands, but yet his compassion for sinners. Jesus was the perfect example. And that's why he could say, follow me. You know, when Jesus called people, he said to them, when the disciples came, he said, follow me, right? But you remember there were some people that said they would follow Jesus wherever he went. There was three half-hearted people. They said, Lord, we'll follow you wherever you go. And he said, hey, foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but I don't have a secure place to lay my head. If you follow me, it's not going to be easy all the time. He told people straight out, it's not going to be easy following me. There's going to be some sacrifices. Another guy said, I'll follow you. I just have to go bury my father. He said, let the dead bury the dead. I'll follow you. Then come and follow me. It seemed very harsh. Another one said, I'll follow you, but I got to go say goodbye to my family. And Jesus said, no. If you put your hand in the plow, you can't look back. Why would Jesus say these things? I mean, these things seemed like legitimate reasons to excuse themselves for a moment. Say, I'm going to follow you, Lord, but just got to do a few things. See, following Jesus means we have to surrender our life. Right? You can't say, I will come. You guys know a story about people that said they would come, but they didn't come till later. They're too busy. Wedding banquet, maybe, or dinner banquet. They said, no, I can't come right now because I got things to do. Following Jesus means we have to lay down our life. There's no excuses. I can't say I'm going to come later, because that's the great deception, right? Doesn't the devil always tell us, you know, like, I know, and I want to serve Jesus, I want to be saved, but I don't really want to do it now, because there's things I'd like to experience, things I'd like to enjoy. I'll come later. That seems like, okay, right? Later, I do want to come. But you know what happens to the ones that want to come later? They never seem to make it. In the stories in the Bible, they say, no, invite somebody else who wants to come. These guys don't want to come, they want to come later. I'm sorry, but my banquet is ready now. When Jesus calls us to follow him, we can't say, well, maybe later, thinking that there's another chance. Jesus is looking for someone to say, I'm going to follow you now. No matter what it looks like, no matter what the cost. And the way is to follow Jesus. And he made the kingdom imminent. It was like when Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's like, it's within reach. Are you going to grab it today? Or are you going to wait till another day? Because we can't say, oh, it's at hand, but maybe it'll be there for me tomorrow. We don't know. We do know that Jesus warned those people who were thinking about turning back for a moment and then coming later. He said, look, if you put your hand to the plow, you look back, you're not fit. Because I want the ones who, when they see me, they say, Lord, I want to follow you wherever you go. And they let down their nets, or they let go. And this world has nothing to offer me that satisfies me. I've tried a few things. There is pleasure here and pleasure there, and it was enjoyable, but you know, It always leads to emptiness. But Lord, I want something more. I want to follow you. Show me the way. I know it's not easy. I know it's a difficult path. The Bible says it's going to be difficult, narrow, but it leads to life. There's eternal life there. And Jesus was trying to tell his disciples, if you want to get there, when I go away, you got to keep following me. You can't give up. You can't surrender. And you know, they thought they could do it, some of them, but there were some tests on the way. When Jesus told them that he was going, he said, I want to teach you something. In John 14, 34, he said, I'm going to give you a new commandment. And it's simply this, that you love one another as I have loved you. I want to show you the way. You know, Jesus said, I am the way, and so I want to show you today what he was talking about. Part of following Jesus, the way, is, in verse 34, to love others the way that Jesus loves us. Isn't that the two greatest commandments? Love God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. This is the way. We have to love God and we have to love others. And Jesus was saying to his disciples, can you love one another the way I loved you? Like, what does that mean? Probably to lay your life down for someone? Isn't that Jesus said, no greater love is anyone than this, to lay his life down? And in fact, he said in verse 35, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You know, if we don't have love, genuine brotherly love for one another, people won't even know that we're Christians, disciples of Jesus. Now listen to this. Peter said, he heard this statement, right? And then he got distracted because all he could think about is, he heard Jesus saying he's going somewhere. He said, wait a minute. Oh, Jesus, that's all good. You know, yeah, I love my brothers. That's all good. But wait a minute, you're going? I mean, I want to follow you. Where are you going, Lord? Because he said, in verse 36, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus said, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me later. You know, I want to come, Lord. I'm going to go wherever you head. But no, Peter, you can't get there now. You're going to come later because there's something you're missing. I'm trying to tell you what it is. Peter, I want to show you the way, the truth, and the life. It's me. You have to see that following Jesus doesn't mean following a man that seems like spiritual. And he's all got all the, you have to actually lay your life down like I am. I'm going to show you. And Peter said, Lord, why can't I follow you right now? He said, I would lay my life down for you, right? So we have these good intentions. Oh, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to lay my life down for the Lord. Jesus said, Peter, will you lay down your life for me? Do you really love me that much? He said, I'm telling you that the cock's going to crow and you will deny me three times. He had to show him, no, Peter, you don't love me that much yet, but I know you will. You're going to come later. Not right now, but you'll come later. And that's when he told them he was preparing a place and he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Now I want to give you an example of what it means to follow Jesus here in John chapter 8. There's many examples that Jesus gave them. Aren't you glad that Jesus was a living example? Like, Jesus had to come in the flesh as a man, because how can you follow God without an example? You have to follow, like a sheep that stays by the shepherd. It hears his voice and it says the sheep follows the shepherd. You know? They just stick close. They trust them. They follow them. Well, when Jesus came, he was a living example for us. And he was a living example for the disciples. And we don't have Jesus in the present, in the flesh today. But we have his Holy Spirit and we have the Word of God. And we can still hear his voice. Isn't that something? I mean, Jesus was speaking to them in the flesh. And they were hearing his voice. And he was telling them, follow me and do what I say. But you know, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And if we're sheep, we should be hearing his voice. And if we're hearing his voice, what are we going to do? We're going to follow him, right? So if we're not following Jesus and we're not hearing the voice, his voice, that's a scary thing because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and no one can snatch them out of my hand. See, that's the promise. The promise is the devil won't be able to get you if you hear his voice and follow him. That's what Jesus promised. And the reason that the devil is getting people, it's because they're not listening to his voice and they're not following. They're following a hireling or they're following someone else. And then the wolf comes and they wonder, why did I fall? What happened with my life? It's because they never followed Jesus. They thought, I will come, Lord, but I got to do a few things. I will, Lord, but I'm going to follow you, Lord, but it's going to be my way first, Lord, and then I'll follow your way. And then they can't understand why life is falling apart, why it's not working. And they say, try Jesus and it's not working. I thought I was following him and it's not working, but the problem is not Jesus. The problem is the sheep aren't listening to his voice, they're listening to another voice. And Jesus is trying to say, no one comes to the Father but through me. You have to follow me, my voice. You have to put your hand in the plow, otherwise the devil's going to come and deceive you and get you. So there was a woman in John chapter 8. And you know this woman was caught in adultery. The one they wanted to stone, right? Seemed like a hopeless case. This woman's guilty. She broke the law. She committed a lot of sin. And they said, Jesus, what should we do? And the law says we should stone her. And Jesus said, hey, if anyone's here without sin, you go ahead and cast the first stone. I didn't come to condemn. Remember Jesus said, John 3:17, I didn't come to condemn, but to save people. Did Jesus condemn this woman? Look at verse 11. Jesus said, I don't condemn you. Go your way from now on. What did he say? Go sin no more. That's what I came to save you from, your sin. I don't want you to go sin anymore. I came here to give you a second chance on life, another lease on life. Do you want a second chance? Jesus said, I'm going to give you a second chance. Now, how do you go on sinning no more? How do you think a woman like this, who lived a life, a messed up life, could go and say, I'm not going to sin anymore? I mean, that would just seem impossible, right? You put yourself in your place and you say, oh, man, I'm struggling and I've got these struggles and I think, I know, Lord, I got to change. But sometimes you say, how do I change? It seems like it's impossible to change. How do I go and sin no more? Well, I'll show you in verse 12. And Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see that? That's how you go and sin no more. You got to follow Jesus. See, if that woman didn't go and follow Jesus, do you think she'd have victory over sin? If she said, yeah, wow, this man just saved my life. I owe everything to this man. And you thought, well, I got some business to do, and I got to, oh man, you know, the guy said he wanted to meet with me. I should go see him. And oh, I would have been in trouble, right? Go visit that guy and no way. But you know what? Maybe this woman was the one. Maybe this woman was the one that went running to Jesus. Because Jesus was in Simon's house that one day. You remember? The Pharisee? And there was a woman came running and broke that jar of perfume and she poured it all over his feet. And she was wiping his feet with her tears and her hair and weeping. And Jesus saw this woman loved much. And he said, this woman loved much, it's because she's been forgiven much. And she broke that jar of perfume, which is probably what she used to lure men all her life. Because remember, Simon said, this is a sinful woman. Jesus knew who she was. He wouldn't let her to touch him. Right? This is a sinful woman. But you know when she broke that jar, you know how much value was in that? How much was that worth? What does the Bible say, right? 8 months to a year's wages, right? One of the disciples was like, what a waste. 8 months to a year's wages, what a waste. Jesus said, this woman, you know what she did? She just surrendered her life to me. That's why there's no value to her. What was this perfume? It was so much value, right? That hurt to her was her life. It was like, man, this is my life. I use this to live my life. All this perfume, the lure, and the money I make, and all the wonderful things. But you know what? This man saved my life, and I'm going to follow him. So I'm done with it. Smash it at his feet. And just broken. She was weeping because that jar that was broken was her heart. Her life was broken. She gave it up. I'm going to follow Jesus. Because Jesus said, I believe she heard those words, if you want to go sin no more, you got to follow me. And she ran and found Jesus. Maybe this is the one. We don't know 100%, but I think it might be. Because, you know, the Bible says that in John 11, I'm going to read you this verse. Verse 1, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany. You guys remember Lazarus? He had two sisters, Mary and Martha. And guess who one of those sisters was? Mary. Verse 2, and it was Mary who anointed the Lord with the ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. This is three chapters later. Three chapters later, there was a woman who we know as Mary was the one that broke the perfume in the jar and wiped his feet. And three chapters earlier, there was a woman that was going to get stoned who Jesus said, I don't condemn you anymore. So Could it be that this was the woman? And we know that this Mary also had demons cast out of her. She had a lifestyle that was terrible, but we see here this Mary, who was a sister of Lazarus, became a disciple of Jesus, right? Wasn't Mary at the cross there when Jesus was dying? Wasn't she the one that was like the first one to see Jesus when he was raised from the grave? Was it that Mary? Amazing, eh? A life change. A woman who was a sinful woman who surrendered her life to follow Jesus. And Jesus said, if you follow me, you won't stay in darkness anymore. That's the promise of the gospel. That's the hope of the gospel. But there's got to be a surrender. Do you think she had a regret smashing that jar? Maybe we got to smash some things, right? We're holding on to these jars and we're thinking, oh, I can't. But the moment you smash it, you're free. The moment you get rid of it and you break it and you say, I'm done with that, it's freedom. And you can be like a Mary Magdalene. You can be one of those ones, the first person that Jesus says, go and tell I'm raised from the dead. You're the first person I want to see because you, this woman, I know all the life you left for me. You're surrendering all to follow me. I'm going to give you an inheritance. I'm going to show you the way, the truth, and the life. You're going to get the life, and it's going to be way better than the life you had. So much better. Do you believe me? And if you follow me, you can have it. That's why Jesus was an example for us. Did Jesus suffer? Yeah, he suffered. Are you going to suffer? You're going to suffer. But that's okay. You're going to be broken at times. That's all part of being a Christian. Is surrendering your life. Jesus said in John chapter 12, listen to this. Verse 24, truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. How many people want to be alone? I don't think anybody wants to be alone. But you know what? We think that sin is that life. I won't be alone. But you know what? The Bible says you will be alone. If you don't die, that's what Jesus had to die, because he would have been alone. He wouldn't have had fellowship in heaven if Jesus hadn't died for our sins. None of us would be there. We'd all be in hell, right? But when Jesus died on the cross, he made a way for us to have fellowship. In the same way, when we go and follow Jesus, we won't be alone. We're going to have fellowship again with Jesus, and we're going to bear much fruit. But this is the word of exhortation that he gave in verse 25. He who loves his life loses it, you're going to be alone. That's a promise. You might not think you'll be alone, but one day you'll be alone. You know that hell is a place where there's no fellowship. You're completely alone in outer darkness. There'll be nobody there. You'll be by yourself in torment. That's the one thing about hell, is it's separation from God and from anybody. Complete loneliness for eternity. That's what hell is. It's a fearful thing. But heaven is the exact opposite. It's complete fellowship with God and with brothers and sisters for eternity. And Jesus said, if you love your life, you lose it. But he who hates his life in this world, I mean, what does it look like to say that you hate your life in this world? Does that mean you break and you deal with that thing, those things in your life to surrender? You have to hate it. But I love it. But you lose it if you love it. But if you hate it, you keep your life, your soul, you keep it for eternal life. And Jesus said, if anyone serves me, you want to say, you want to follow Jesus and be a Christian, you can't serve two masters, can you? No. He said, you have to follow me. If you want to serve me, follow me, for where I am, there my servant will be. If Jesus went to the cross, do I have to pick up my cross and follow him? I got to pick up my cross. If Jesus left his life to live for his Father, I have to leave my life to live for the Father. If the disciples left their lives on this world to live for Jesus, and I say I want to be a disciple, then I also have to leave my life, my passions, those who are Christ, the Bible said in Galatians chapter 5, 24. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with their passions and their desires. That's what it means to follow Jesus. We crucify the flesh with our passions and desires. And there's an eternal inheritance. Just look at the Bible. Just read the Bible and see. Was anyone disappointed who followed Jesus? I don't think so. There's no disappointments for those who follow Jesus. Lord, give us faith to believe. Let help us see the kingdom, right? Like the guy who sold all his treasures, when he saw the kingdom, he for joy over it, he let go. Follow Jesus. Amen.